Configuring hybrid with business connectivity services with SharePoint 2013. If you intended to come to the session before, I thank you so much. If you stumble into this session by accident or someone cajole you, it's going to be a great session. It is something that, this is the direction everyone is moving. So sit down, strap in. I'm sure you're going to enjoy yourself. For the heckler, there's a one minimum heckling, but if you are a speaker and you have a session, just bear in mind, I will come to your session and heckle you. All right, a little bit about myself. My name is Fabian Williams. I come from a background of engineering, database, and now I'm on the dev side. This is not a dev session. However, being a true dev I am going to open up Visual Studio because even if you're doing something totally IT pro or totally hybrid, somebody had to have created some of those URI endpoints, a lot of those things, and for you to be able to have an intelligent conversation or to understand where I'm going, what I'd like to do is at least show you a part of it. So I'm not going to code. I'm going to show you some screenshots, and I'm actually going to go through one exercise which will involve Visual Studio. It'll be so simple. Not one stitch of code will be written, but the sole reason behind it is because there's a gotcha that is out there, and I'd like to show you what that gotcha is, because even if you did everything that I told you today correctly, without fixing that gotcha, this will not work. All right? So I blog on SharePointFabian.com. I tweet way too much on Fabian Williams as the handle. Connect with me on LinkedIn, as you see there, and that's my email address there. Anyone who knows will tell you that I will answer your email. I do have day jobs just like you, so it may take me some time, but even if it's to tell you that, hey, I'll get back to you at this point in time, or here's a better person that can answer it for you, I will get back to you. Community is always given to me, so it's always important for me to give back to the community. To manage your expectations, what I'd like to do is just to let you know where we're going to be going in this session. And, I want you to walk out of this session understanding what is the value of SharePoint Hybrid. I want you to understand what problems Hybrid is set to solve and understand how to set up a one-way inbound Hybrid. Now, I'm going to cover all the different scenarios of hybrid, but in this session, because we're doing BCS, we're going to focus on the one-way inbound. Silent my phone. Okay. This is going to be our outline. All right. And as much as this is going to be our outline, what I want to speak to this is just let you know that I'm a visual learner. If I read anything that I've published before, you'll see it's always riddled with images, descriptions, because I don't want to tell you, I don't want to give you click next, click next, click next, do this, do this. I want to tell you the why of doing that as well. So the approach I'm going to take in this session is to show you a conceptual design of what the hybrid scenario is. Then I'm going to show you screenshots of where things are and how you set them up. And then in the end, what I will do is I'm going to walk through the entire scenario with all the servers that I have, and in the end, test the solution and show you by making a change in the on-premises side, how that change is reflected inside the Office 365 side as well. So I hope to show you, the big picture, the screenshots, and also the end-to-end on it. Again, because, this is being recorded, you're going to go home, you're going to see this, and, I want to be able to have something that you can take away with. So here's what our agenda is going to look like. So in order to, to fix a problem, the first thing you need to do is understand what that problem is, right, in order to effectively fix it. So let's find out, what problem does hybrid solve? So the way I'm going to look at it is to talk about a couple challenges, right? If you consider a business that has badged employees that almost never come to the office, or even further yet, you're a badged employee, but you're staff aug. So you're on-site somewhere else where they provision you your own laptop. That laptop is also not company provisioned, so it doesn't belong to your corporate network, and you don't have your ID on there. How do you effectively ensure that your employees in the field can get access to information that's usually going to be on your intranet and supposed to be protected or IP data, whether it's for your own company benefit or just for business purposes? How do you manage that? That's one of the challenges. So if you have people on-site or off-site, you need to be able to manage that experience. Navigating multiple data sources, that's another challenge. So I've never gone into any company, and maybe somebody here can tell me, if you go to a customer and say, hey, tell me where all your data is, and they can point to one area and say, everything is right there. Never happens, or if it has happened, I've never seen it. So usually you'll hear that, you know, somebody will say, hey, you know, I have my PeopleSoft doing this, I have my CRM doing that, I have my Siebel doing this, I have my Salesforce.com doing this, my stuff is kept into Active Directory here, then I have some stuff over SQL here, all right? So if you're looking at it from the paradigm of managing your customers could be all over the place. Even managing your own resources, such as your employee, you may have AD, you may have people over in CRM, you may have people all over the place. So multiple data sources is certainly not a challenge in terms of getting access to that data, especially even on-site, much more so even people that are off-site and not have, you know, adequate connectivity to the system. So taking that to another level, let's imagine that, yeah, you have these disparate datas that are siloed somewhat. How do you effectively search, right? Because in the end, if you're looking at your customers or your employees and you're trying to see a complete big picture of that person, and they're all scattered across multiple line of business systems, persisted in different databases, how do you search and see that complete picture? It's gonna take multiple searches unless they're all aggregated, all right? So you can see the case that I'm building right here. Now, if they are also distributed, how do you, you know, oftentimes they will have multiple logons, so authentication and authorization, right? Who you are and what you can do. So how do you manage that as well, you know, between your Salesforce.com, your Siebel, your CRM, your own, you know, how do you manage that? And finally, there may be even people that are not a part of your business, so they're not badged employees elsewhere. They're just, you know, they're partners, they're B2B, and you're trying to give them information. So you want to, you know, capture that information as well. So these represent some, but not all of the challenges, but in terms of what BCS Hybrid solves, the message I'm going to give you here solves all of these problems. And I'm sure you can probably even give me some more, but you know, we can all relate to those that I highlighted right there. So as part of solving or the goals of hybrid, one of the things that you want to do is to manage or create a single logon to marshal across all of those boundaries. Because as IT pros, you don't want to be managing several different logons for a individual. And as a user, you don't want to be managing, hey, what is my ID here versus what is my ID here and what is my password for that, all right? So you also want to provide a secure and easy way for you to be able to access that data in a corporate network, right? So, you know, obviously there's technologies out there such as VPN tunneling, but then you have to worry about, will they open up the firewall port for that? Do you need a certificate for SSL certificate? There's just so many different things that you can do. And again, tying back to the search experience, right? Because what good is information to you if you keep it and you can't find it? So you want to be able to have a complete good search experience on that. Now, I know that Neil Hodgson did a session prior, not the one before this, but the one before that, that covered one-way outbound. How many people here attended that session? Quite a few as well, okay? What I will say to that is if we have enough time, I will cover it. I'll answer any questions on it because we had it working. But I'm going to be here all week. I'm going to be down by the booth of those generous people who gave me some servers. And I can, you know, spend a lot more time on that. But the messaging of this entire session is around BCS and hybrid. But by doing everything we did for BCS and hybrid, it was just a few more steps just to get search working, and we got search working. And we want to provide a consolidated view of distributed data. That goes back to the story of, you know, managing that complete experience. So what is hybrid anyway? Everyone sees hybrid. You think it's this kind of hybrid? No, it's not that kind of hybrid. The hybrid that we're talking about is having a combination of Office 365 SharePoint Online plus your on-premises SharePoint environment to produce you a hybrid environment. So here's where I talk about now the conceptual view. I'm gonna go through a series of slides with some animation inside there, and I wanna dismantle or decouple a couple of the areas for hybrid so we can focus on them independently. The first thing to understand is that, you know, in any hybrid situation, as I mentioned before, you will have an on-premises SharePoint server farm somewhere that you're gonna be tapping into. In addition to that, you're gonna have a Office 365 SharePoint Online tenant as well. The idea is you wanna be able to have users on your inside, on your corporate network, have the ability to get information back from SharePoint Online, as well as get information back from your on-premises system. Equally, if people are your badged resources that are on the outside, so they're external to your organization, you want the same exact thing again. You want them to be able to go on the inside in your corporate network and get information as well as get information in SharePoint Online. So again, it ties back to the issue, as I mentioned before, of having multiple identities. So the issue of identity comes into play because when you have, you know, SharePoint is not an identity management system, all right? You can't authenticate to SharePoint. You need Active Directory. Equally on SharePoint Online, you need, you're logging into Microsoft Online, MSOL, to be able to authenticate. Through that, you're gonna have a situation where you'll have a user account or a UPN of fabian@contoso.local or whatever. And on the SharePoint Online side, you'll find yourself with a fabian@contoso.onmicrosoft.com. Again, one body, several different logons, several different credentials, several different passwords. A nightmare for both the user and for the IT pro that's managing it. What we want to have, and here's your takeaway, all right? I want you to understand that, you know, to do this, you're going to need to stand up some more boxes, right? You're going to need to be able to have a system in place that'll allow you to get your information that's inside, where it's protected, where you have more control, to the outside. So in order to do that, you're going to spin up an ADFS box, all right? And that ADFS box is going to give you federation between both what's on premises and also in the cloud. You're also going to want to have the ability to synchronize that information. So you want to be able to, as you add users to your on-premises system, that over a period or a cycle or some kind of cyclical time span, that information is synchronized to what's also in the cloud as well through Azure Active Directory. The important part and the takeaway is to understand that to get that unified logon, you're going to be creating a federated account. So before we had a UPN of Fabian at contoso.local, and we had the MSOL fabian@onmicrosoft.com. Here, we need to create a federated domain and a federated user. This is what your user will look like now. So it's fabian@contosohybrid.com. And that one account has the ability to straddle the boundaries and see information on both the on-premises side and also in the cloud. By virtue of the fact that he's going to authenticate against ADFS, who knows about the relationship between Active Directory, ADDS, and also SharePoint Online. So that talks about the identity of the individual. So now we've solved that problem. The next, let's talk a little bit about how it works, though, because there are a couple of hops that are there, and I want you to understand that when you make that call to the browser, there's a lot of things that are happening. In fact, when I log on today, you'll see that once I put in my logon, you'll see it actually gives you a little bit of some ellipses at the bottom, and the URL is actually going to change to the ADFS box, who's actually going to log me in. First, it's going to think it's Microsoft Online when I go to portal.microsoft.com. By me putting in my UPN, it's going to say, hey, I know who you are. There's an ADFS box. Let me change to that and authenticate you. So the idea is that you're going to make a call to something on the cloud in Office 365. The cloud's going to respond, hey, who are you? To find out who you are, it's going to go to ADFS. ADFS is going to say, hey, you're making a call to the cloud. Cloud says, let me check my system to see if you are one of those people who are federated. Once it finds out that you are or aren't, it comes back over to ADFS. ADFS says, yep, here's a token for you. And let me qualify this by saying that this is if it's the first time you're logging in. You're opening up a browser for the first time, and you go for a resource. So it's making all of these checks for you. Once you've been assigned a token, it comes back down to you again. And the call, again, is now made with that token. And once the call is made with the token, you get a result page that comes back with your resource that you're trying to identify. So these are all the steps that are in place for that one call, for that one Word document or Excel document that you want. These are all the steps that are taken if you're trying to get something through a federated account. Okay. Now, let's look at a different part of the picture. If you're looking at sharing farm resources, you know, that's also going to be important too. You're going to want to be able to look on the on-prem side and get information if you are coming from the outside and vice versa. So in order to do that, when you install a SharePoint server, you have an STS certificate. To be able to set up hybrid effectively, you can create your own self-signing certificate. You're going to install that on the SharePoint farm using the PowerShell command. And also, you're going to install that same certificate in the Microsoft Online environment using PowerShell again. And by doing that, what you will get is a relationship between both those certificates in both environments, so those two can trust each other over OAuth and SDS. So there's an SDS trust that's now established so that you can both environments understand each other so that I can search one and it says, hey, I know who you are. Or if I have something like BCS with an external list on the on-premises side, it knows who it is and it can consume BCS as well. Now, if you recall, this could be done in SharePoint 2010 as well, but what could not be done in 2010 is actually the sharing of the information between both environments. You could manage the identity, but you could not have the sharing of the resources. So again, you know, in the old adage, you know, is you know, ask your doctor if X is right for you. We're going to use hybrid this time. Here's where I'm going to break out and show you the different flavors of hybrid that there are. There's one way, outbound hybrid, which is the one that Neil Hutchinson's session did before, which is mainly considered around search. If you're on the inside searching for something on the outside, on the inside because you control it more. There's also one-way inbound, which is what we're going to be focusing on here today, because one-way inbound is the minimum hybrid scenario that you need in order to get BCS working, and also Duet. The other hybrid scenario is two-way, and the two-way just allows you to be able to do search now from both directions. So I can now search, in the case of outbound, you're searching from in the inside, consuming something from the outside. And with the inbound, you're consuming something from the outside, which means you're outside of the corporate network trying to get information that is on the inside. What it looks like is similar to this. So this diagram is going to be here. I'm going to leave it in the deck. I'm just going to talk through it and go further on. So you have the inbound, the outbound, and the bidirectional. The one thing that's, that I want to call out is the fact that there is a reverse proxy server. And the purpose of the reverse proxy server is if you're doing a one-way outbound, which means you're on your own network and you are trying to get information on the outside, then you have more control over that environment. You know when somebody is leaving your network to go on the outside because they're passing through your system onto the internet. So it's easier to manage. You do not need a reverse proxy for that. But if you have somebody from the outside trying to come in, you don't know who they are, where they're coming from, and the amount of times they're going to be coming. You can't tell any of those scenarios. So in essence, you will need a gatekeeper. That gatekeeper is going to be a reverse proxy. Your reverse proxy is going to be listening for this information, finding out what they're trying to get access to. Do they have the requisite credentials for it? And how do I pass it along? So again, taking a 10,000 feet view, let's just put it together. And I'm going to thumb through all of this except for the last slide. But this breaks it out into the different segments of the network, talking about, you know, breaking out the SharePoint environment into its requisite pieces and what's inside the perimeter network and that last piece of the reverse proxy. So these are the boxes that I said that you need to have in place, or at least a minimum of these boxes, in order to get hybrid working. You need to have your AD box, your SQL box, your SharePoint ties to those two, your DuraSync box, your ADFS. You need to have a reverse proxy. Now, in previous documentation, up until I want to say maybe a few months ago, the documentation said that you needed to use TMG as the reverse proxy. You'll notice here that I am not using TMG. I'm using a WAP proxy, web application proxy, which is now also authorized for use for hybrid. So that's just one difference that you may see in documentation out there versus what we have here today, and it works well. And you see me dropping users in place here. I'll cover that in a second. The important thing that I wanted to discuss here is that there's a couple of things that need to be in place as well to be able to communicate effectively on the inside in a one-way hybrid, as in this case. Now, again, you have information on the inside that you'd like to expose on the outside. So the first thing is, where is that information? So you will need to register your web application that's in SharePoint that you're trying to expose these services on. You need to register that name on a public DNS, and you're also going to need to register that name internally. And you're also going to need to register that name as well inside SharePoint Online Office 365 in the admin tool in order to ensure that you have that federated domain going on so that all three environments know each other. For all your endpoints, because we're going to be dealing with BCS here, which means we're going to have a URI, an OData URI that is going to say, here's my endpoint to get to these resources. Those resources have to be published as well, and they're going to be published as well in the reverse proxy. To be able to do that, in our case, and you know, this is for the fact of convenience, one, cost another, we elected to use a wildcard cert, and the wildcard cert is tied to our domain, you know, rackerhybrid.com. So we have our ADFS box, which is fs.rackethybrid.com. We have our reverse proxy box, rp.rackethybrid.com. We have our SharePoint box on the inside, which is sharepoint.rackethybrid.com. So by having a wildcard cert, I'm able to tie all of that to the same certificate and make life a lot easier. And that SharePoint.rackethybrid.com, along with those other endpoints, are registered inside the reverse proxy. So that's one of the administrative duties that you need to do to be able to get this working. Okay. So let's go more into the nuts and bolts now. That's the high-level concept. Some of the preparation checklists that you're going to need to do to be able to get this going is, one, again, it's two different worlds, right? It's your on-premises world, and it is your SharePoint online world. So you need to square where your on-premises environment. So you need to provision those boxes, do all of those stuff I spoke about before in terms of getting those DNS names, registering them with GoDaddy, which you know has a relationship now with Microsoft, and get that environment sorted out besides just SharePoint, your ADFS box, your DuraSync box, your reverse proxy box. You're going to need to provision accounts and security groups. So besides your security accounts that you need to get SharePoint working, there are additional accounts that are going to be needed to be able to get hybrid to work. Again, we're now talking about the security element of it, right? How do you get somebody authenticated from the outside inside? As well, for the federated user, it's important to point out as well that you're going to see it in a couple slides coming, but just want to tap on it now. You may have users inside your organizations that you do not want to have them to have a federated account or federated UPN. For those accounts, when DuraSync goes through and tries to sync through what it sees in Active Directory, unless it sees one of those federated accounts, it is not going to sync it back into ADFS, back into SharePoint Online. So, you know, often if people tell me that this is not working, the first thing I'm going to say is go look in AD and make sure it's not set to .local or .com. It's set to your hybrid UPN. So you're going to need a subscription to SharePoint Online. Make sure you square that away as well. And you need to register your SharePoint domain name, as I indicated before, and procure your certificates, as I mentioned as well. So these are your checklists that you're going to need right off the bat. So as I mentioned before, these are all the boxes that are in play. You'll notice that this is a screenshot of my Active Directory users and groups, and I have my lab environment here. My Rackethybrid, which is my hybrid domain, and my local domain and my app domain. So there it is right there, all of those three domains representing my groups. The additional configuration that you're going to need is to create a hybrid domain registration. So if you go into Active Directory Domain and Trust, right-click, you're going to add your UPN there. So this is the one that you're registered with your GoDaddy. This is your public-facing. This is also the one that's tied into your search as well. So now you're making the relationship internally in Active Directory off a UPN, a domain that it will be used in your hybrid. You're going to associate your federated accounts. So all of these accounts that are done, once you've already done this step, you're going to need to go back into your Active Directory users and computers, find those users that you're going to elect, and change their UPN suffix to, in this case, rackethybrid.com. Now, it is also important to note that once you have done this, if SharePoint is already up, you will also need to rerun user profile services synchronization for that to pick up as well, so it knows about the additional UPN for that user. So here's a screenshot of what that looks like. So once you've done that, you will have your mylob.local, and you also have your Rackethybrid. You will need to flip this over to Rackethybrid, save it for the DuraSync to know that this is what I need after you've made the selection changes inside the admin portal for Office 365 and in ADFS and in DuraSync for it to know this is the guy that I'm interested in syncing. And also, you need to register your endpoints on a reverse proxy. And as an example, this is exactly what that looks like. So you'll notice here I have my AdventureWorks on the top, my MySites, my Northwind, and my SharePoint. One thing I want to call out right here is that you'll see on the external URL, I have https://sharepoint.rackethybrid.com. On my backend server URL is also https://sharepoint.rackethybrid.com. Now, again, as a matter of convenience, I've done it this way. There's another way to do it, and you'll find documentation out there that will tell you that you can use alternate access mapping, so you can have a domain that's set up that is not this domain. Or if you wanted to obscure what's going on your internal site, certainly you can use AAMs to do that. If you go that route, then you would need additional configuration in your reverse proxy for it to know this is what my outside look like, translate it to look for this on the inside. So, but as a matter of convenience, I did not do it here. You'll notice that I have also endpoints for AdventureWorks and Northwind, and these are my OData sources that I created in Visual Studio that I published through IIS. And then in IIS, we created a DNS entry for it, and that DNS entry is registered and is published through the WAP proxy server box. So when traffic is coming in, unless it meets these criteria, it is going to throw it away. If it meets these criteria, you'll see another section over here called pre-authentication, and it says client certificate. I'm going to get into this later on, but just to hold on to this information right now because I want to call it out. Whenever I create an external content type relationship in Office 365, there's a portion that needs to know about the same certificate, the same wildcard certificate. It needs to be installed in Secure Store. And then whenever I make my call, it says, which certificate are you referring to? Oh, this one? Then go here. So the relationship is bridged right here to know about that certificate, that when Microsoft Online is making a query into the system, it says, I know where you are, I know who you are, and also here's a certificate to let me know that you're a trusted resource. Now, a couple other things as well in terms of readying your SharePoint environment, or sorry, your on-premises environment. You will need to create a couple of things. Now, Secure Store by far is the way to go if you're doing SharePoint BCS and search. All right, Secure Store is important because, again, it solves many problems, right? Anyone here not know what Secure Store does? Everyone here does? Did someone raise their hand? Yes? All right. So real briefly, so Secure Store gives you a credential mapping. So it allows you to say, here's an ID that has access to my LOB system, my line of business system, my external sources. And here are a set of people that if I identify them, they will use that credential mapping to get to my resources. So what I'm creating here, first of all, is an account called OData account. That OData account is going to be the only one item that will have access to my external resources. And you can manage that experience as well. You can give it whatever you want in terms of read, write, full, whatever. You can control that. You can even control multiple accounts. It could be OData account full, OData account contribute, OData account read, and then manage that experience as well. I also create another security group called OData group. This security group is going to be the group that you're going to put all of those users that are now your federated users into this bucket. And when you create your Secure Store on premises, you're going to now put that bucket inside the members area of Secure Store, thus creating a relationship between the security group with all of your federated users and the one account that can give you access to your external resources. All right. The next thing is to actually create that Secure Store. And all of these screenshots is here, I'm leaving them here for you because they're going to be on a slide deck and you can read it rather than looking through the video. The video is also going to be there, but I wanted to be able to show you exactly where these things are. We're actually going to click through these things on all of these servers as we get through the progression of the session. So here we're creating a Secure Store application with the name OData App. I'm keeping to the theme of just OData account, OData group, OData app. Inside this OData app is where I have that set credential and I have those people created for you. And this is managed inside central administration in your on-premises environment. You'll find out later on as I start to configure things inside the Office 365 SharePoint Online, I am referencing this Secure Store target application ID. So stick a pin on that. You will see it again, OData app. Okay? So the next thing we're going to do is create an OData service endpoint. All right? So that, for everything I've covered before, that is all the hard lifting, the heavy plumbing that you're going to need to get your hybrid environment up and running. That is just the plumbing, just to get it working. I'm now going to bridge now and move over into getting the BCS piece of it running, right? So you're going to create, in this scenario, there's many ways to do it. You can do a web API, you can do a WCF data services to do OData. Anything that we're going to output your OData endpoint is what you can use to create that source. In my instance, I use a WCF service template in Visual Studio. You may modify the entity access and also the operation. Let me just thumb through that right there so you can see it and I'll just speak to it. When you're creating some of these entry points for OData, you can manage that experience. Now, you'll see out there that many examples will tell you, set the entity access rule, set the operation rule to asterisks, all right? And then also set your entity access rule to all. That's basically to say, you know what? I can touch every table, every stored proc in your system, and I can do anything to it. Now, granted, in a proof of concept, that may be well worth it. But there's no faster way to get to exercise your resume options and to get more visibility on your resume by having it that way in production environment. All right? So if you don't want to update your LinkedIn profile, you know, make sure that you protect it very well. Now, what that looks like, I want to show it to you. How many devs do we have in a room? Wow, there we go. All right. So, you know, this is exactly what I was talking about before. So, here, by default, you can see me breaking some of those rules. I have my, on both sides, I have my my Northwind entities right here. And I also have, as you can see, those violations here, setting everything to asterisk. But this is because of proof of concept and my all read there. So, my my asterisks and my all read. Now, the service operations that I talked about before, just, you know, as a matter of conversation for the non-devs, but for the devs that are going to be doing it, you can create other methods below this and then name those methods inside here, and then you can call those methods only. So rather than people calling your tables, they're calling your methods, thus, again, creating an obfuscation between your world and what people actually see, right? And the endpoints that I'm exposing are these guys right here. So customers, employees, Northwind, and so on and so forth. Those are what I'm exposing to the outside. And this is what does it for me. So getting back into SharePoint Online again in the BDC metadata store for hybrid, there's a couple of things that you're gonna need to do. You're gonna need to log into your portal at microsoft.com, and you need to go to the SharePoint admin section, and you're gonna need to make a couple of changes. Now, just as if you're in the on-premises environment, it looks a little bit different here because you're going through a browser. It's not central admin. It's named a little bit different because it's doing a lot more things than just managing the metadata store. So when you log in, clicking on BCS will yield you that last screenshot. And what you want to do is set metadata store permissions. Now, what this does for you is a couple of things. Now, when I'm doing presentations, and I don't want to use the word cheap, but when I want to expedite the process, I always add myself inside this group here for full everything. What that means to me is that any external content type that I create is automatically going to associate my account or any account that I have inside there with those permissions. The reason why you're doing this here up front, even before doing anything with hybrid, is because you've already done that work. You've already set that stage by saying that I've already created that old data security group, I already have my secure store created. So by coming here and creating putting everyone inside the bucket and giving them at a minimum execute or select permission, you're ensuring that they can click on an external list and it will return data. Now granted, there is more to serving up an external list than just execute permissions and select inside here. If you're using Secure Store, they need to be also be in Secure Store members area, and you also need to have that ID squared away as well. This is just the one area that I want to point out for here as well. So once you've done that, you will actually have this ECT or ECT of this sort created for you in the end. Now, this is what it looks like on the inside. So you'll notice that for my users, oh, that was touch screen. Oh, this is touch screen. Oh, that's cool. I touched the screen and it moved. Anyway, for my users, they're all select and selectable in client and execute. And for my last one, my racker.rackerhybrid.com, which is my UPN for my hybrid environment, that guy has set permissions and edit as well. If you try to create one of these without one account having those permissions, it will not allow you to save it. The next thing is to square away your SharePoint Online connection settings. This I'm going to get into more detail when I get into the demo because there's just so much involved in this. Now, you're going to need to, again, log back into the SharePoint admin portal under BCS and click Manage. And as a personal preference for me, you don't have to do this, but it just makes life easier for me because I'm tracking many things, is there's a setting called SPO Data Connection Setting ID that is going to be required inside your external content type when you create it. You're also going to need to associate that ID inside SharePoint Online as well, so it can know use this ID to relate to this information inside my secure store and inside my on-premises environment to let me through. I name them the same thing because they're all related. So my my OData will be, I'll give it the same name as I will give my ID here, because it's basically saying, get me to that OData. But this is my naming convention. So again, BCS, except this time we're on the bottom, manage connections to on-premises services. The next thing you'll do, this is what it looks like when it's blank. And let's talk through some of these items, all right? So right here. So the first thing is that you're going to need to provide it a title. This is the title where I tell you I would make the title the same name as what I would make my ID. This service address that you see here, this service address is for my OData endpoint. So the OData endpoint I created earlier, you will put that inside here. The next thing that you're going to talk about is authentication. By default, it's going to set to user identity. This will not work with SharePoint BCS. You're going to get an error saying that the C2WT, it's going to give you an error telling you that, that account is not approved to do that. You, of course, need some authentication to do it because you're crossing that boundary. So for BCS, you will use the secure use credentials stored in SharePoint on premises. If it's this one, obviously it is secure store. If you're doing Duet, which is SAP, Duet has an extension provider that you can select to do that there. And in that case as well, the service provider address is actually http.https. The last one, the second to last one, the internet-facing URL that you guys see here, this is now the entry point to your SharePoint system. So now we know where the endpoint is. Actually, now we know where our endpoint is. Now we want to know for our OData, now we want to know how do we get to the SharePoint. The last piece here, which is actually cut off in my next slide, which is why I haven't moved over as yet, is the Secure Store Target Application ID. Now, inside Secure Store, as part of your prep to get this in hybrid, you are going to use the same wildcard certificate that you purchased, and you're going to create a Secure Store Target Application, except this time it's not a credential mapping. It is going to be set to certificate. And you're going to also provide the password for that certificate. And it's by virtue of having a secure store, it'll have a target application ID. You are going to need to put it right there. And that's the same idea I spoke about earlier that is when I published it into the in the web application proxy, and it said client certificate, that's what the certificate is looking for right there. So if you're looking at this when it's completely filled out, this is what it would look like. This is my OData source. I'm using the credentials on premises. Again, remember to remember that target application ID. This is the one that I did on premises. And I am mapping it to impersonate a Windows identity. Now, there are other things that you could map it to, but remember, I did this by creating a security group, right? And I put users in that security group. So it's Windows identity. If it was something else like Radius or some other authentication factor, you can manage that there as well. But for me, we're doing Windows identity. And that ID that I create is in the bottom right there. So the next thing that once you've done that, you will get these connections created for you. Moving along, you should understand that hybrid only supports OData external content types. So yes, you will need Visual Studio. That's the reason why I said, you know, even though this is a hybrid session, not a dev session, you know, if this is going to be one of your considerations, understand that somebody will need to create this for you. But this is so easy. You can do this without any stitch of code. And we're going to do that just for me to show that to you. All right? You're going to use hybrid. You can use hybrid through various different means to secure and manage that. But I'm saying use Secure Store. Unless if you're using Duet, then you can use the extension provider. And again, if this is for SharePoint 2013 and Microsoft for SharePoint Online, obviously there are two different ways that I can consume an external list, right? I can do it by creating a SharePoint app, and I can upload that app into the store and click on the app, and then it's going to the app domain, and it does everything for me as an app. Or I can actually go to a SharePoint document library, and inside a document library, provided I already have the external content type inside somewhere I can reach it, then I can say, go find this external content type and create me an external list from it, all right? I encourage you to do it, importing your BDCM manually for a few reasons. The first reason is that because this is gonna be done by Secure Store, it's far easier. Well, you are going to have to touch your external content type manually anyway, because you're going to have to go in there, because by default your ECT is going to be set to pass through, All right? You, pass-through will not work. So you're going to have to open up that ECT inside the editor and change it to secure store. So you're already touching it that way already. Then there's a couple gotchas in there, and that's what the gotcha I'm going to get to. And obviously, that's going to be fixed later on. But at least for now, you're going to need to modify an assembly version number. Sound like fun yet? So because you're going to do all of that, I recommend doing it manually. All right? So I'm going to lead into the gotcha right now. So let's go ahead and flip over. So press number 5, which puts me here. And let's go ahead and open up this guy here. And let's go to my app box. And let's go here. I am going to start off by creating a, so Visual Studio, right click, run as administrator. Of course, you know I'm enjoying this, right? It is Visual Studio, of course. But I'll be brief. Look how easy it is. So I'm going to come here. I am going to app for SharePoint. Let's say demo for SBC 319. We're not going to follow all of it through. So what are we creating again? We're creating our external content type. Okay, so, yep. So I'm going to do okay. I'm setting to SharePoint at rackahybrid.com. This is my on-premises environment. It's going to be SharePoint hosted. I click finish here. All right. All right. And it should come back relatively quickly. All right, so I'm going to close this out here. I'm going to move this down so we get some more real estate. I'm going to right-click on here. Again, no code so far, right? I'm going to go to add. And then content type for external source. As you can tell, it needs to be OData. There's no other way around it. I'm going to do my Northwind guy here. This is the same one that's published before. And just say OData for NW, Northwind. Next, this is all wizard driven. Once I've done that, it's making that call. And here are all of my entities that are published based on the WCF that I did earlier on. So I'm going to do, let's say, employees and customers. You'll notice by default, it says create an external list for me already. So if I do finish, right off the bat here, you'll see that I have a customer's table, external list, and an employee's external list. I also have my external content type. Here's what I wanted to tell you. If I double click on customers right here, I'm gonna move this up a little bit, all right? You'll notice that it says the old data connection string ID is empty. The authentication mode is passed through. And the metadata is also passed through. I also don't have an SSO provider because it doesn't know about secure store because it is passed through. So the first thing you're going to need to do is come in here and give this, and also about the token. I usually set this to true based on the OData source that I'm working with. And here, you're going to have to come up with a creative name, so ABC123. Obviously, you're not going to do that. Pass through, you're going to change to credentials, right? And you're going to change this to credentials as well. Right, as you can see, there are various options there. And inside the SSO provider is where you're going to put this guy, not that. You're going to put this guy here. This string. Now, obviously, it's already there, so I'm not going to do it twice, nor am I going to publish it. But I would come here and put that string there. I would also, let me just grab this here, Northwind external content type. Inside here, this is what you need to do to allow the, for secure store. So control A, control C, and then you would put that here. And that's it, done. Once you've done this and say save, it's also applicable. You saw we were in customers, right? But it also did the same thing for employees. If I go to employees here, you'll notice it's already persisted. There it is right there. Now, that sets up your external content type for secure store. So if I come inside here now, right click and do open with, and then XML editor, auto, you'll notice that this guy is set up for secure store and all of those items here. So this is it for Visual Studio. Not one stitch of code, right? All right. So let's come back over to, let's talk about the gotcha while I'm here. So the gotcha is actually in the web front end. So Steve Peschka, very brilliant guy at Microsoft, blogged about a problem that he experienced. If you've done this, which is all that's required, and you publish it to hybrid, you'll get an error indicating that that your version number is incorrect when it tries to make a connection to your on-premises environment. That is because, again, us as consumers, we have no control in SharePoint Online. And SharePoint Online can change the assembly versions as they see fit. So what they did a few months ago is they changed the assembly version in SharePoint Online to 16 Rev. The Rev on SharePoint on-premises is 15 Rev. So by default, if you leave everything the same, it's going to fail. So what you need to do is you need to come inside. We'll talk through it and I'll get to it. So you need to find the SharePoint web app that you're running on. So the endpoint that you did for SharePoint that's exposed to the reverse proxy, you need to find the web.config there, and you need to come inside here. And Peshka will tell you that you need to change the secure store, which is, where's that? This guy here, and downgrade him from 16 to 15. Now, at the time of his blog, this worked, and he says it worked. For me, it didn't work. I had to go in there and change every instance of secure store and downgrade it to 15 for mine to work. So that's that one gotcha that's out there. Now, when I looked at Steve, he said for me to provide him my file, he's going to take it back to the product group and find out what's going on. So I don't expect you'll be doing this for too long. But for now, again, when they change things in Microsoft Online, SharePoint Online, it can affect you in many different ways. These are just some of the things that can get you. All right? So let's go back over to main. All right? Okay. So the next thing you need to do is to import your BDCM file into SharePoint Online. So that external content type that you saw me build before, and it showed you that XML file, you want to save that off. And you want to import it into SharePoint Online. The way to do that, again, you're going to go into Microsoft Online, you're going to click on BCS, you're going to click on Import, and you're going to click on Import, and you're going to find that file, and you're going to pull it in. Then you're going to create your external list, and you're going to test your work. All right? So what you should have in the end is in your on-premises environment, you should have like this Northwind here, and in your SharePoint Online environment, you should have the same thing right here. All right? So I'm going to actually now step through everything that I've done, and I was just told by the police that I had to blur this out because it is copyrighted material. It was too late for me to change it, so we blurred it. All right, so I'm going to now jump over to from my demo into walking through everything step by step. So back over to 5. Yep. And let's go ahead now and step through a couple of things. All right, so the first thing. Now, we didn't spend a lot, we showed the screenshot off. As I mentioned before, you need to come down inside here, inside your service account. This is where I put mine in SharePoint, and create yourself an OData account and a security group. And inside that security group, your members are going to be the people that you want to have access to that SharePoint resources that only the OData account have access to. Now, in order to show you, let's go over to SQL Server, underneath Northwind and underneath security, all right? As you can see, I have just my OData account, all right? So full trust, right? You see me doing it. Only the OData account that is there, all right? Let's go ahead and go back to the AD box. Is there anything else I want to call out here? No, I don't think there's anything I want to call out here. The next thing I want to show you is inside the In central administration, we talked about secure store. So inside secure store, you have your you're going to create a new secure store ID. So demo for SPC. Am I over? Am I doing on time? 10 minutes. Okay. Demo for SPC 319, and then give it. Control A, Control C, Control V, and then Fabian at adotom.com. Now, this needs to be a group target application for it to work. And then by doing next, you provide, this is where you're going to provide the credentials later on for the set credentials. And then from administrator, MyLab/, and inside here, is going to be the OData group. All right, so that's my security group, and that's my administrator. For those who have not seen Secure Store yet, so this is now done, and then I would come here and I would do set credentials, and inside here is where I put the OData account access. So it would be my lab/OData account, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to do that. All right. So this is all you need from this side. Now on the SharePoint Online side, actually before we leave here, let's go and show you this here. So for right now, this is a external content type that's created in the on-premises environment. And what I want to do is show you, this says Nancy DeVilio now. So let's go ahead and just edit this item real quickly. And let's say that Nancy got married and decided to change her last name, or did her name change for whatever reason. Come on, hurry up. I have 18 minutes? Thank you so much, JD. Thank you so much. You know, typically I'm always running over time, so it's like very scary. Yeah, I got time. So let's change this here to Williams. Say, I am that lucky person. And say, save. All right? Oh no, that should not happen. All right. Demo gods have smitten me. All right. Hold on 1 second. Let me double check something here. Data, not with employees. I know why. Okay. Yeah. As you can see, there are several tests of them running right here. Let's come back here again. It's always good to have something break in front of live audience. Then you know it's real stuff. So Williams, that's one that I created earlier. A new save. Ta-da. Boom. All right. So Williams, right? Let's come over here. And SharePoint Online, we can, I thought I already had it set up for that. Oh, there it is. So it's Nancy DeVilio. So I'm just going to do a refresh here. There she is, right? So we can see that working. So let's talk about how that entire experience happened. So let's come over to now the SharePoint Online side under the Manage SharePoint and talk through a couple of things. So on a secure store, I mentioned before that one of the things that you have to do is to create a new secure store ID. This is going to be of type certificate, right? And certificate password. So once you've done this and give it a name, this is now going to be, it's going to tell you to browse. Actually, let's just show it. So new cert. And let's go ahead and my lab, my administrator. And this is going to be, John, what did you put here, John? What goes here? Do you remember? Is federated accounts? So it's all users? Yeah. Is this going to reckon? Is it going to resolve? Nah. All right, so everyone? I can't remember. All right. You put the group there, and then inside here, I'll just edit the one that we have here, and then fight with it. Waste minutes. There we go. So here's your federated account and the everyone group. It's everyone, not all users. All right. And then your certificate password. If I come over here and I do set credentials, what you'll see is you have the ability to browse for that certificate and then provide the password there. So if this is not done, then all of the things that you're trying to do on the other side when you register the endpoints will not work as well. So here's where you browse your certificate and then you give it your password, okay? I'm not gonna mess with that because without this doesn't work. Now the next thing that we spoke about before is if you come inside here, you basically, first thing is the metadata store permissions, as I mentioned before. As you can see, these items are here, and you click on this guy, one person has to have all the permissions that are there. And then the import process is rather simple. You basically browse for your file. My file is there somewhere, and then you pull it inside, it runs it through, and it comes back, and it gives you this inside the end. The next thing that you would see that you needed to do was under the on-premise environment. Now, this is the important part again, right? So if I do, let's just edit one that's already there. This is the Northwind one. Actually, let's do the AdventureWorks. I'll be looking at Northwind inside the slide deck. So here's my AdventureWorks. Here's my endpoint. This one was done via a web API. The other one was done via WCF. That's why the URIs are a little bit different. They both target that OData App Insecure Store. So let's call this out. So the client.svc is the internet-facing URL that you will put in there. So if you remember, I'm exposing SharePoint at RackerHybrid.com in my reverse proxy. So I'm saying SharePoint at RackerHybrid.com, go to client.svc. That is my endpoint for my SharePoint web app that I want to expose. And if you remember that target ID that I have for the certificate, this is the guy that I have there. So this is what does that binding for me, because you'll notice that I'm not using BCS here, but I'm consuming BCS on the other side because I've identified my secure store app and I've provided my certificate information. Once that's done, it's quite as simple as just coming inside here and doing, let's create another one. So add an app. Okay, and then I would external list. And then I do this. And here is the guy that I imported. I do create. And we cross our fingers again. I'm clicking create, right? Why is it not create? Oh, there we go. All right, and there we go. We click on this guy, and we have moment. Come on, did I click it? Let's say working, right? There we go. And the one thing I did not, there's our Williams again. Now, this is there because of the notes field. So let's go ahead and modify this list real quickly and take away that notes field so we can see some more. Notes field is a rich text field. So notes, there we go right there. So again, so here we have a situation where we are consuming information from SharePoint Online for external content type in the on-prem system. Now, John, the search one is Racker Hybrid, SharePoint.com/sites, search. All right. So is it working? Well, she's not the Velo anymore, is she? Let's do Peacock. Is that going to work? What have you two? Let's try Williams. Let's see if I broke it good. All right, here we go. So as you can see here, search is working, and we have our adventurers coming. We click on this here, and let me not overemphasize a couple of things as well. I'm glad this came up. So for this to work for me, not just any John Doe can go to that endpoint. In fact, if you try today to go to that endpoint, you're going to get a 401. You're going to get a 401 error. Why? Because you don't have this cert, right? So the certificate also have to be installed on the machine that you get in this that you have this on for it to work. Again, that layer of protection. Not just anybody can just go there and consume your OData feeds or connect to your SharePoint system, because guess what? You did publish it to the internet. It is available, but it's protected by a cert. All right? And having that cert there, I can now get my profile page. So again, something I didn't cover, but it's just part of BCS, not really part of hybrid, is for you to be able to have to get this profile page come up, you need to create another site collection and then set up site collection, and then say create a profile page inside your ECT, and also set up search as a parameter in there for all of this to work as well. But there are several blogs that can tell you how to do that. That's really more BCS than it is hybrid. And for search to work, let's just talk about that a little bit. Let's come back inside here. Where is my, is this it? No, let me open up another one. So portal. All right, here we go. Notice here, something to talk about. It says fs.rackerhybrid.com. That is my ADFS box. All right. So if I come over, what was I going to do? Oh, yeah, search. Come over here to SharePoint. I come to, that's not where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the on-prem box because the data is on the on-premises environment. So I come to the app. Is that where I have, So So it's SharePoint. Where's my central admin? Right here. Okay, all right. So I come over here to manage service applications. What am I doing with time? Manage service application. I have 14 minutes. I come down here to search. And I have a content source inside here. And in essence, I'll do a new content source. I'll say content source for session. Obviously, I can't do this and have it work by the time we're in here. But line of business, change it to BDC service. And here are my two that are there already. So I do Northwind. And then I can set some crawls and so on and so forth and do OK. The one that we have is set for continual crawling. What I do? It's already being crawled. Okay. That is true. Do I have them both being crawled? I don't know if I do or don't. Yeah. So I can't, it's already being crawled, so I can't add another one of the same type. But as you can see, it's, once it's inside you, you set up a crawl, it crawls, it comes back with your information, and then you're all good to go. Now you can set result sources against Neil may have gone through some of this right there. You set a result source for your SharePoint Online, and you set a query rule for that as well. And that is what gets the search working for you to basically get the search experience as well. So as I mentioned, the BCS hybrid gets you 90% of the way for search. All you have to do is those three other steps: is create your content source, create your query rules, and your result source, and that's basically it. So that takes me to the end of the session. We have a few minutes for questions and answers. There's a mic here, as I mentioned before. If you did tweet, hopefully, did we get any questions? I don't know, but fire away. I know everyone wants to get to that party, but I'll be here. I'll be at the party too. Yeah? Anyone, any questions? Is it clear as mud? Yeah? What's your question? Could you, so that everyone can hear it and it'll be recorded as well. And yeah, the mic is in the center of the aisle for questions.
Uh-huh. On the on-premise for the BCS limit, the throttling by default is 2,000. How is that on SharePoint Online as well?
I believe it's the same thing. I can probably get a better answer, but I believe for now it's the same thing.
Do we have the option to extend the throttling?
On-premise,
I can do that.
You can do it on-premise. I don't think you can do it on SharePoint Online.
It's a 2,000 number. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions?
When you showed the user in SharePoint Online clicking on a search result.
Right.
You showed the certificate pop-up in,
I think
it was the user's browser.
Yes.
I can see how that works in a proof of concept, but how do you go with that in a real life scenario?
Well, the first thing I had to do once my environment was up, I guess, it depends on your scenario, right? So if this person is never coming into the office, you don't see him, He needs to get that cert. So he needs to install the cert. So he'll get the cert, he'll install it in his personal store, and then once he goes to the URL, it'll say, I have this cert, authenticate me and let me in. If you control the user's computer but they're not there, you can provision it ahead of time. Can you do a GPO to do that as well? You can do a GPO to push that cert in so that it's obfuscated from the user. But that cert needs to be there for a level of protection. If you didn't care that people can see your endpoints and stuff on the internet, then there's no need for it, but I'm sure you care. So it's a matter of just how you manage that experience. So GPO it, give it to the person, and they can manage it themselves. And those are the two scenarios that I can possibly think of right now.
And is that the same with search? So if a user in SharePoint Online clicks on a search result that actually resides in on-prem?
No, well, let me break that up. The question is that the same with search? So in search, you got to remember that now we're consuming a resource that between servers, right? So that's now the it's the same certificate, but that certificate is managed by the STS between what we've done by taking the certificate that we've done online with our self-signing certificate on one side and then the other. So two different certificates. There's a certificate for the user to get on, and then there's a certificate for the two environments to trust each other. Those two are in play.
All right.
All right. Any other questions? No? So you guys feel you can go ahead and do this right now, right? All right. Well, I'll be around if you're shy to ask your question here. Answer me any questions. Thank you very much for attending. Hope you enjoy the rest of the day.